Please turn to today's reading, which is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 23, which is on page 966 of the Church Bibles. The escape to Egypt. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he'd been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years older and under, in accordance with the time he'd learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." The return to Nazareth. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jean. Well, good morning, church. There's a privilege to be able to share God's word today and finish off this series. Let's just open up in a word of prayer. Father, I do thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth that it contains. I do pray, Lord, that your word would not return to your void, but accomplish that for which you have sent it. In Jesus' name, amen. So today we're looking at Joseph the dreamer. And Joseph, the father of Jesus, is not often thought of the dreamer. When you say Joseph the dreamer, you usually think of the Old Testament. But dreams are something that you really can't define. Some scientists say it helps organize your memories and emotions from the day, so you dream and that kind of catalogs what you've done and your brain sorts it out in order. Other scientists say it spurs your creativity on and allows you a way to express your desires. But in the passage today, we see Joseph dreaming something from outside of himself. Nothing from himself brought about this dream, or these dreams. When he dreams, he knows that an angel has spoken to him, and he responds immediately. Why does God speak to him in this way? And when he speaks to Mary, he actually sees the angel. When he speaks to the shepherds, he sees lots of angels. We don't know. What we do know is that there are at least four different messages that Joseph received in his dreams, and those were used to bring the Savior of the world up in a safe family. So we heard 3 weeks ago about the first dream where he knows that the baby Mary was pregnant with was from God and not from another man. And so the passage today that Jean read so well tells us about the next three dreams that Joseph has. And today we're going to look at Joseph the dreamer, and we will see how each dream that Joseph receives leads him to obey God and cause his family to move. And this in turn protects Jesus as he grows up. So we look at the movements of the family. We can presume that Jesus is a little bit older. We don't know the exact age. We know he's over 40 days old because Mary has done her purification rites after being pregnant at the temple. He also knows that he's under 2 years old because of Herod's decree. I mean, if he was over two, then he wouldn't have had to move. And so when Joseph receives his first dream, this is kind of the age where Jesus is. And so he receives that first verse, first dream in verses 13 to 15. And it says, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and escape to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you. For Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, he took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. What I really appreciate about Joseph here is that he immediately responds to the dream. He obeys. He wakes up Mary and Jesus and leaves in the middle of the night. He doesn't even wait till the next morning. He just goes. This obedience shows us that Jesus was protected from the evil plans that Herod had to strengthen his own royal line. The fact that they go to Egypt kind of brings about a parallel between this story and the story of Moses. In both circumstances, a savior has been saved from indiscriminate killing of children. In the case of Moses, he was saved from the ruling family of Egypt by becoming part of the ruling family of Egypt. But in this situation, Jesus, the real king, was fleeing from the ruling family of Israel, and Jesus in turn would create a new family of God and become the forever king. And so both times, fleeing royal decrees and becoming part of royalty. The prophecy from Jeremiah in verse 18 must have been devastating. It says, "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel is weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more." Ramah is just a few miles away from Bethlehem, but it was the whole area that was affected. There was a refusal to be comforted because all the children under two are no more. God's people are under attack here, and there was seemingly no relief. People often ask, where is God in times of trials? Why does God allow such bad things to happen to Christians? Why is it that these take place? The truth is, we live in a time of rebellion, a time where people do not listen to God, a people where even the king of Israel, King Herod, who had loads of religious scholars and leaders to give him advice, only looked out for himself and his family. There are times when God protects and leads his people out of harm's way. But there are other times when we go through those difficult times. Joseph was given a warning, and Jesus was protected by going to Egypt. But there were many other children who were part of the family of God, who belonged to the people of God, who died. And so when Joseph hears God speaking through the angels, he obeys. And so how does that work for us today? How do we hear God speaking to us today? Has anybody heard an angel speak to them in their dreams recently? Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. But we have the full Bible that they didn't have. We have the full revelation of God in his word. We hear from God through that word. Sometimes we hear a direct voice. Sometimes we might hear a dream. Sometimes we might hear from wise counsel of Christians around us. But God wants to speak to us through his word day by day. But our listening is not always the greatest. And so I encourage you, spend time in God's word and respond immediately as God speaks to you. Our response should always be immediate obedience. And there'll be time when we know that God is protecting us and helping us through things. But with Joseph's situation, what I have to presume is if he left in the middle of the night, you don't have a time to take a whole lot of stuff with you. He didn't have a car to pack. He might have had some sort of other camel or donkey or something, but he couldn't take a whole lot of things. He probably had some of the wise gifts, the gifts from the wise men to help, and that might have helped establish him in Egypt. But he went and he left his family, his friends, his support structures. There might have been other Israel people living in Egypt, but it wasn't necessarily his family. It was not an easy time. And so Joseph took his family there, started raising Jesus up, but was longing to hear the next dream from God. His next verse comes out in verse 19 to 21. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. For those who are trying to take the child's life are dead." He now gets a second dream, the dream of resettlement. The Bible doesn't say where in the land of Israel Joseph went to. Only thing we know is it wasn't Nazareth. This has kind of led to some commentators saying that maybe Joseph was avoiding Nazareth because of the shame of having Mary pregnant before marriage. There's no biblical evidence for that, but there is a reason that he had for not wanting to go back there. The family returns to the homeland that all Jewish people long to be, back to the country of Israel, but not quite where God wanted them to be. Joseph heard from God the first step, go back. God directs us step by step by step. He leads and directs us without us knowing the final plan. I think if we had to see where we're going at the end, sometimes we'd be too scared to start the journey. Or we might want to skip parts of the journey to get to the end earlier. Everything works in the right time according to God's plan. Everything works together for our good so that we can trust God more, so we can grow in our faith. If God revealed to us the beginning straight away of our lives, I mean the end of our lives straight away, we wouldn't want to take all the other steps in between. And so, can I encourage you, if there is something that is disturbing your peace, something that you need trust in God, spend some time in prayer about it. If you don't know God well enough to pray, then ask someone. Spend time in God's Word. Speak to other Christians and allow them to guide you day by day. Joseph is now back in Israel. He's ready to listen to God, but he's scared. He's scared because he knows that Herod's son is dangerous. And so he finds out that that God wants to raise Jesus as a Nazarene. And so he gets his final dream, verses 22 to 23. When he had heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea, in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. This is a very interesting prophecy because you can't find it in the Old Testament. But before we look at that, Herod's son was worse than his father. If you can imagine, Herod, the father, had killed all his children. The son was just as bad. And so, again, God speaks to Joseph in a dream. And he tells him to go back to Nazareth. If you can remember from Luke chapter 1, Nazareth was actually Mary's hometown. That's where the angel came to her. And as I said earlier, we don't know why Joseph is avoiding this town, why he's not raising his family there. But this is where a prophet said Christ would be from. Why is this passage not in the Old Testament? There must have been lots of writings and prophecies that were around at the time of Jesus that did not make into the canon of Scripture. It was well enough known at the time of Matthew's writing for him to quote it. This final dream in the passage shows us that God, as he started that first step along the journey with Joseph, continues to direct him even through our fears and our trials. God knew that Jesus would come from Nazareth. And even if Joseph had not planned to go there, he had to follow God's plan. Sometimes we think that we're here by chance, that we're in this place because of what we've done. We think we're living in the streets that we are, we're living in our homes, in our suburbs, because we've planned it to be there. We think even that we came to church today because it was part of our will. But the Bible teaches us in Romans 13 that all authority is placed in their position by God. That means parents are placed in authority over their children by God. That means your managers at work are placed there by God. That means even the government that we have has been placed there by God. It's part of his plan. It also says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that God has assigned to each of us a sphere of activity that can increase as your faith continues to grow. God has placed you in the place where you are, in the house where you're in the street that you're in the job that you're in, for you to have a sphere of influence, an ability to change people around you, to speak the gospel to people. Whether it be at your home, whether it be at your work, whether it be at your school, where you go to gym, where you play sports, God has put you there for a time such as this. And your responsibility is to be that influence to the people around you. Joseph got his guidance from angels and from dreams. But how is God speaking to you and me today? Are you able to spend time each day reading your word and spending time in prayer? Do you use a devotional that maybe guides you through those readings? Do you spend time with a home group and hear what other Christians are saying to you? Do you pray with your family and listen to what God has to say? The story of Joseph in the Bible is not a very long one. In fact, after this chapter, Matthew never mentions him again. And the Bible only mentions him as one of Jesus' parents, not even saying his name, when Jesus goes to this temple at age 11. You'd expect someone to have had angelic visitors at least four times to have a little bit more priority. But that is not the case. God spoke directly to him. He obeyed, but his obedience led him to protect Jesus. Jesus was the one whom God was protecting, who God was allowing Joseph to receive his dreams and visions for. The Savior was saved by Joseph being obedient to the Father. And so we too need to listen. We need to trust. We need to obey so that Jesus can receive the glory from our lives. Let me just pray. Father, I do thank you for Joseph. I thank you that even though his story is short, he was a father to Jesus, an earthly father, that he raised him up, that he was obedient to you every single time without hesitation, that he went where you told him to go, that he married whom you told him to marry, that he lived in accordance to your word. We thank you that he did not take the glory for himself, that he didn't write a book about himself, but he raised Jesus to be the Savior of the world. And so, Father, we thank you for his example, and we pray that each one of us can have that same example to in our lives, that we can glorify you, that we can decrease, that you can increase, that everything we do change the influence of people around us. In Jesus' name, amen.